No date setting, no times, no trying to make something say what it's not, but if we ever needed the Lord, it's now. And if we look at what's going on over there and the possibilities of the threats, this does involve us. Involves us that we should be praying each and every day for that peace over there. Pray that the powers that be would wake up and see what the Lord has been trying to say to us for generations. You know, Jesus made a statement, we've piped and you won't dance, and we've played funeral and you won't mourn. And I wonder, what is it going to take to wake me up beyond where I feel like I'm woke up? So it's time to get woke, but woke to Jesus. It's time to listen to his word. It's time to apply it not only to this church as our local body of Christ here, but to each and every one of our lives. That's going to be strictly up to you and I, individually. There's a little book that I kind of picked up again and looked at. It was written by Paul Little. I'm not saying it's the best apologetic book going on. You'll want to read some Walter Martin stuff there and others. But Paul Little wrote a book years ago that was Know What You Believe and Why You Believe It. And I think a time has come for each and every one of us that this is more than just, oh, I believe in God. What do you really believe about God? What do I really believe about God? Why do I believe that? Is it because Doug said it, or some other church said it, or a friend of mine said it, or didn't? We know, each one of us need to know emphatically what I believe, how I can stand on it, why I stand on it. And it's got to be this scripture. You know, scripture interprets scripture. It's not opinions. We've got to get this. So Paul Little, I just put that plug in there. We're in Hebrews, and today, if you would, please turn to Revelation 22:17. And I'm just, it's just one verse out of many. But I think this one, and you know, again, thank you, Seth, if that was something God laid on your heart. As soon as I heard that one worship song, here it is in Revelation 22. We're going to look at verse 17. And that says, as you're turning in the Spirit and the bride say, come. What I hear from a lot of Christians today is not yet. Let me get my house built. Well, let me get married. Let me have children. Well, wait, I got a vacation to Maui coming up. I don't want them to come like right now. Where did that come from? It came from the pit of hell. And Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth, he who has ears today, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And if we have ears and we say that Christ is our Lord and we're in him, then we should be yelling, come, come quickly, Lord Jesus. If we ever needed God, we need him now. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will. That is so critical right now. Don't ever think that anybody is beyond the reach of our Lord and Savior, or else he wouldn't put in there. The Holy Spirit wouldn't say, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Why did I go there? Because I really felt this week that in just in my time with the Lord was showing me that we're in an age of grace right now. We've been talking about grace. Thank you, Miracy. I made a statement that cheap grace, C.S. Lewis came out. It was not C.S. Lewis. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And this is not cheap grace that we're talking about. But we are in an age of grace right now. But I think Billy Graham said it probably 40, 50 years ago. He said, but this time, this age of grace will not last forever. There's going to come a point where God says, okay, now the real stuff begins. So this age of grace, I think that each and every one of us need to start to look into it seriously, apply it in our lives the way that the Lord is directing us. And you might ask, how does this, and you can turn to Hebrews chapter 2 while we're going along. How does the age of grace, how does this age of grace and what's going on in and around me, in my life, how does that apply? How do I apply this? Because, you know, in the world and in my life, personally, and the things that are around us, we have health problems, finance problems, marital problems, daily stuff. Let's call it daily stuff. Is, you know, some of us for our daily stuff have storage bins that we pay lots of money for to just stuff our overstuffed stuff in a place. How does everything that's going on right now apply to Doug? See, it's real easy to take God's word and apply it to each other. We've said this for years. Oh, boy, it's too bad old so-and-so wasn't here to hear this one today. Or wives hitting their husbands, and this one is for you. And is that mine? No, that's not mine. How does this apply to me in the situations that I'm going through or I'm in or I'm going to go through? I should be yelling from the rooftop. When I walk outside, I should look up and just beg, please, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly. Come quickly, because there is no other solution than that. So biblically, what's happening biblically? I made a statement last week. I don't know if it surprised anybody, or I felt like what's happening right now in the world scene and what's happening in my life, my health problems, finances, marriage, daily stuff, that's not political. It's biblical. Everything that we ever need to know, God put right here for us. This is everything he wants to say. Everything that's in here, he meant what he said. He says what he means. There's no maybe this isn't me. So biblically, what is God doing? And I'm sure some of us are asking that in our own lives. What's going on? Why is this happening? And all I kept getting was the echo from verse 11 of Hebrews 2. Simple verse, deeper than anything I think we can ever fathom right now. Verse 11 of Hebrews 2, the Spirit of God says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. That's a sermons in itself. Steve tried to present that to us the other night, last Sunday. We're all one. That means so much more. You know, husbands and wives are one flesh, and we are one in the body of Christ. And all I've been seeing lately is that the prince and power of this world is trying to drive that wedge. Forget about everything else out there. He's trying to drive it right here as a body of Christ. He's trying to drive some type of a wedge in my life to maybe have me question, am I one with Christ? How much does that really mean? That, and we're going to see, Christ looks at it to a point where he's not ashamed to call you and I brothers. Christ is not ashamed to call you his child. How much does that mean in the world that is falling apart around me? Can that keep me together? But 11 says, for the both he that sanctifies, God, Jesus Christ, power of the Holy Spirit, and they who are sanctified, that's us, are one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Father God, one short verse, so deep, Lord. Help us to pray this week for wisdom. Help us to pray for understanding, that we might take these words, that we might look into them, that we might try to understand. In Jesus' name. So what on earth is going on? And I feel that God is trying to sanctify us. I think that's what we've been seeing here. But what does that mean? God's trying to sanctify us. So you know the definition, if you look it up scripturally, of sanctification is to be set apart for God's use. That's simple. I'm gonna put this little plate of food aside for Uncle Joe because he's going to be late today. It's just setting something aside for a greater use, for a better use. And that's what God is trying to do in each and every one of our lives. And I was looking at that do we really know sanctification? Do I really know what sanctification is? Because, you know, there's many beliefs. We have the answer right here, but we have the Reformed idea of sanctification. We have one that's called the Keswick sanctification. We've got Pentecostal sanctification. We've got Wesleyan sanctification. We've got Augustinian sanctification. Which one do you believe in? You know, I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot or anything. There's so much out there. Calvary Chapel, in a sense, we're Calmanians. We don't believe in Calvinism and Arminians. We're a little bit of both. And the Augustinian view, if you can find that on your phones, Google pads, whatever, start looking into it, because sanctification is what God is trying to do in every one of our lives. So I wanted to just present, you know, I looked it up this week, and I hope it just prompts you to go into that doctrine of sanctification, not only what it costs, but what it is in my life, what it is in this church life, and how we're going to proceed from this point forward. So sanctification, while I'm talking, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Sanctification. It sounds, what's that? Sanctified. Oh, sorry. My ears are just, they're starting to go quickly. Sanctification, so to be set apart for God's use. Let's get rolling here. This is, sanctification is not a condition. See, some of us say, I'm sanctified. It's like a condition. It's there. It's a position that we're in right now. Each one of us in a different stage, in a sense. But I think we need to understand some of the, if you want to go 3, 4, or 5, there's arguments in there. There's argumentably, there's pre-conversional sanctification. There's positional sanctification. There's progressive sanctification. And there's perfect sanctification. So we might sit there and say, so what? So plenty. So plenty, because some of us are starting to give up. Some of us are starting to maybe just weary a little bit in this war that we're in this battle that we're in. But I think if we understand the phases of our sanctification, it can help us to understand what God is doing in my life. What is it that I should be doing in my life? Or why is this happening? We might not get the answer every time to why is this happening to me, the Eeyore syndrome, poor me, but why it's happening is because God is trying to tell me something. God is trying to teach me something. God is trying to bring me closer and closer to Him through these situations. So pre-conversional sanctification, turn to Jeremiah 1:4 if you would. I better get going. Look, it's almost time already. Anybody care? Let's set this time aside for God, and then I won't have to worry about it. I guess I told everybody before, maybe turn someplace else to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Put something in there. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I wanted to go there because I feel that it shows us that this sanctification is in different stages or phases. We are sanctified. We're being sanctified. We will one day be fully sanctified. It's not all happening right now. This is not sinless perfection when we read something about sanctification, which some beliefs feel that an individual can achieve that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that, nor I feel that some of you. We are not or never will be sinless, but we can sin less, can't we? And I think we all probably have experienced that in our lives. So pre-conversional sanctification, before we're even saved, there is a time when God sets us aside, sets us apart in His foreknowledge for use for him. And this is the one from Jeremiah, real quickly. Then the word of the Lord came unto me in verse 4, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Set him apart for his use, is what the Lord is saying here. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Most of us have the same response. I didn't want to go there. Oh, Lord, I can't speak, for I'm a child. I just can't do this. Yes, we can. But the Lord's, chapter 1, 5. But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child. We can't anymore say I don't have any understanding. I don't have that kind of a wisdom. I don't have that knowledge. We can't say that anymore. It's right in here. It's not God. See, we want to wake up with everything's good, right? Everything's perfect. When are these trials going to end? When are my habits going to stop? When is this attitude going to, like God is just going to do it. God is saying loudly to us, I have done it. But right now we're in the process of completing it. And one day I will totally complete it. For thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. God is sanctifying before he... Jeremiah, does that say he was saved, chosen, elect? I don't believe so. I think God sanctified him, knew what he was going to do eventually down the road, just like he knows what you're going to do this afternoon, what I'm going to do. I don't even know what I'm going to do right now, but you know, he does. So there's a pre-conversional sanctification unto that day where we come. We also know in 1 Corinthians, 7:14, that husbands, the word of God says there that, you know, the husband is sanctified, set apart by a believing wife and the children. Does that mean that you're saved? No. God has a special favor that he gives before that. Some of your children, some of our family, they're not saved, but God is, I feel, in that pre-conversional sanctification, allowing that setting apart so that we might hear, so that we might see, and that we can make that choice. Then there's positional sanctification. That sanctification, the day that you said yes to Jesus Christ and the day that I said yes to Jesus Christ, positionally, we were put into a relationship with Jesus Christ and we were sanctified in that union with Christ. So let's spin through the word of God quickly. Acts, if you would. Acts 26. And I hope with the time frame, I can just read these. Because I think the way I walk after today, I am responsible because I've heard something. God has shown me. And in positional sanctification, I need to know, because too many of us, I think, well, look how I think, look how I speak, look what I just did, my feelings. We think that God then kind of pulls us out of that salvation, that sanctification. Once we truly give our hearts to him, our positional sanctification is already done. It's like it's done. Verse 18 says, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's the begin. When we say yes to Jesus, he's saying yes to us. He knows every man's heart, knows if we're playing a game or not, knows if we're doing this for some other reason. But when he knows that that heart is crying to him, come, Lord Jesus, into my life, come, whatever it might be, that's when that positional sanctification begins. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. We'll just start making right-hand turns. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. And unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both there and ours. Positional positional sanctification. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 11. And such were some of you. What such? Some of us were above. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, extortioners, fornicators, effeminate, abusers. There's a whole list there. But now that we ask Christ into our life, he sets us apart for his use, not for my well-being or ideas, but for his use, sets us apart. And the word of God says, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you are sanctified. It's done. Do we hear that? Not that you will be, not if you try hard enough or jump high enough. You are washed, but you are sanctified, and you are justified. And I want to talk about that one day, about justification in God's eyes. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Positional. Positional. 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in truth. What we have to really see in that, and I hope we all study it this week, is that that is that two-sided coin, if you were, of God's sovereignty. He's done it. But the belief of the truth, that's human responsibility. We hear God's word. Do we believe it? Do we dig into it? Do we try to grasp it and hold on to it and gain understanding of it? But that positional sanctification was done by God, by his Spirit, by me believing the truth. Hebrews 10. Verse 10 of Hebrews 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. Positional. You know, and the only way I think that this is going to be clarified in our minds and hearts, we need these scriptures. And if you can't remember the ones that I just felt like the Lord was leading me to, and then you study further into that, we get an understanding of who I am in Christ. Who am I? What's going on? You're one that way in the very beginning, somehow, some way, I don't know how it played in your life, but God was drawing us. God was pulling us, stopping situations. I can't let this happen because I know that can use any name here, is going to be doing this for me at this time. That sounds wild, doesn't it? Remember before you knew the Lord, I had one day that I lived in New York and pulled out in the road without even looking. And I had a semi truck that stopped probably not even, Seth was too far away from a T-bone. And that day I thought, wow, good driving, Gib, you know, and that guy was okay. Was that God? Did he just stop that somehow? And an event in your life that should have been destruction, it didn't happen? Is that because God beforehand saw you and said, I'm gonna use you? And then positionally, when you and I said yes, he put us in that position right there. And those things didn't happen because we were set apart. What's going on? I'm being set apart. Why did your finances fall? Because you're being set apart. Why did this person leave? Why did this person die? What are you trying to do, Lord? He's trying to get us ready to be used for him. And I think the time that we're in right now is one that is so crucial for each one of us to understand our sanctification. One time, though, positionally. I think 14, it says, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. But I'm not perfect, no, we're not. But we're on our way. And I think that's going to help some of us in our attitude towards ourselves and how we feel. My thoughts about myself, my standing, who I am, what I'm doing, what I know or what I don't know. The enemy of our soul uses that and tries to bring that wedge of division, tries to move us further away. But God is saying, you're mine. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. I had something for you. Do I feel that my thoughts are higher or better than God's thoughts towards me? They shouldn't be. And too many of us, I think, operate in that situational circumstance. Progressive sanctification. This is one that we all should know. We're a work in progress, aren't we? We're not done. Yes, he did it, and we are sanctified. But each and every day, the situations of our life, God is trying to present to us himself through these situations, showing how he can set us aside. Again, we'll never be sinlessly perfect, but that shouldn't be an excuse. Some of us have been saved for 40, 50 years, and we find ourselves either in the same spot that we've been, or maybe slipping back a little bit. Old habits coming back in, old situations in our life that are crushing us, and we ask, why is that happening? I think God is trying to sanctify us every day, progressively, through his word, and through these situations. It kind of goes hand in hand with what we've been talking about belief in God and suffering in his grace and his love. We think that when we become a Christian, everything is perfect now, right? Or it should be. Or look at me. How can I do this? It's because the flesh and the spirit battle every single day. Who's going to win? We're in a battle. There's no doubt about it. We're being assaulted every day by something, each and every one of us. And I feel it's time that we learn to defend ourselves. That used to be my whole career at one time. Either defending myself as a New York City cop or defending those who couldn't defend themselves because they either didn't have the tools or they were too weak to do it. And sometimes you have to be more evil than evil itself in an approach of defending yourself. But see, we don't fight like they fight, and the weapons of our warfare are not like that. What we do is we fight in the power and the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has sanctified us. Nothing's going to touch you that goes through his hand first. Nothing. We have to sit there and look at what we're doing every day and stop asking, why did this happen? Why is this happening to me? To answer for myself, sometimes it's because of my own stupidity. It's because of the choice that I made. But God is still in there trying to set me apart, move me over, and utilize me the way he wants to before he comes back. So this is a present, progressive, ongoing sanctification of a believer. And I feel that it's going to take us all the time that you and I each have on this earth to see that coming to a fruition, not fullness, but it's going to take every moment of your life, my life, your life, to understand and to watch God in that. 2 Timothy 2, to show that progressive, that's what's happening. So don't ask again, or at least know the answer, why? Why did this happen? And God should yell to our ears, because I'm setting you aside day by day for my use. See, we asked him to be our Lord and Savior. I hope most of us have. Wasn't like he just grabbed us by the ear and said, you're going to be saved. This is it. This is your life. We asked him to come in, be Lord, be Savior. So now let's let him have that way with us in this progressive sanctification. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore, this is that coin that I spoke of before, of God's sovereignty. Only he can do this. Can't do it yourself. Don't ever try to do it without God. Don't ever try to live a Christian life without God. Don't ever try to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit, because there's three of them. There's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And without each one of them, nothing is going to work. It has to be all three. It's like a package deal. But you and I work with God in this progressive sanctification. So why am I still like this? Why am I still doing this? Why isn't God changing this? It's because you and I have a responsibility to work with Him. We're co-workers. We're co-laborers with the Lord. And if I don't, when I hear Him say, Doug, don't. And I say, well, maybe tomorrow. I'm not being set aside for His use, am I? But if I hear Him trying to explain something in this progressive sanctification, and I say, yes, Lord, speak, here I am. I feel we're not just going forward, hell-bent for destruction. We're going to step aside and wait and watch God work in our lives. So 2 Timothy 2, there is a responsibility for me. In verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, again there's that word, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So what do I do in this progressive sanctification? What am I responsible for? 22 says, flee youthful lusts. What are they? What are those youthful lusts? What are those things that grabbed us, held us, that we came to the Lord for in the first place? What are those used for? Every one of us has something different. But the Lord is saying, flee. And you know what? I was thinking of that today. What do you do when you flee a burning building? Do you wait? Do you stand around and watch to see how much it's going to be? Fleeing envisions running, doesn't it? Get out of it. So in this progressive sanctification, if we're looking to be a better Christian, if we're looking to be worthy of the Lord and be used for the master's use, I need to flee these youthful lusts. We need to know when and what to run from and who to run to. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they just gender strife. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. This is just a servant, and that's what every one of us are. Go to the men's or ladies' room back there. There's a mirror on the wall. It says, what does a servant look like? You'll be looking at yourself. It's not just somebody special. God is trying to sanctify each and every one of us that are called His, through whatever the situation or circumstance might be. In meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. And in meekness, not like we've reached it, not that we've gotten there. Remember, this is a progressive sanctification, a work in progress. That God would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at will. Progressive sanctification. Why is it so slow? Why is it taking all this time? It's not taking all this time. It's just ongoing. God is working. Every situation, every circumstance that affects you, that affects me, He's trying to get it to the part where we are now getting more and more into the image, more and more closer, if we could, to His coming. Then there's a perfect. You know what? I had one more. Titus. I don't know. That's pretty hard. Sanctification. Doing all this stuff. How do I do it? We do it through the Word of God. And in that progressive sanctification, there is no excuse, at least for me. It says in verse 11 of Titus 2, For the grace of God. That's God's love. That's not just for somebody special who's doing everything right. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we looking for Him? Is that all that matters? Has He set me aside that much that His Word is going to teach me how I help in that sanctification. How, and I don't like to even use that word help. How do I work with the Lord? How do I do what I'm supposed to do? We do it by the Word and applying the Word to our life. He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. That's sanctification. Perfect sanctification. Final, complete. 1 John chapter 3. Perfect sanctification is that, just like it says in Philippians 1, it's, you know, He will complete this work. But it sure helps if we go along with Him, doesn't it? Do you ever try to get one of your kids to dig a hole, clean a barn? Isn't it great when they help? Isn't it great when you have somebody next to you doing something? And our lives are kind of like that. God's doing it. All I have to do is have a nice afternoon with Him and do what He's saying for me to do. But one day, we don't have to worry about that because we're going to enter in and it's going to be a perfect sanctification, totally set apart in heaven with our Lord and Savior. In 1 John 3:1-6, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. What kind of love has He bestowed on us? It's a love that's just abounding in grace. It's a love that He knows everything we think and do and did, and yet still loves us and continues to pour out His grace, continues to work with us, to set us apart. Behold, take a look at this week, Doug, is what I had. In those feelings of my sanctification, I think every one of us feels we should be further along, shouldn't we? We should be much further along by now. How come God hasn't done it? Right here. How come I'm not doing this? How come I'm not doing that? God doesn't want those things anymore. He doesn't want comparisons. How come I can't remember everything you wrote in Asher the Assyrian? I was sitting there this week just amazed looking at that. But look at that. Man, I think I heard that 20-something years ago. How have I forgotten that? I'm not setting myself aside or apart during the course of my day in this world to be used for His glory, for His benefit. See, it's not just I witnessed this week. Praise God. But I should be doing it every minute of the day. I should be looking at that sanctification. I should be looking at the cost. I should look at what that says. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God, that the world knows us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are you the sons of God. Now. Now. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. So we're a work in progress. You're not done yet. God's not done yet. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Perfect. Perfect sanctification. Don't give up. I kept hearing today, you know, last night I was laying there, some of the things I thought this week were terrible about Putin, about this one and that one. And I thought, what? What am I doing? Why am I? He's got this. He's got this. And one day I'm going to see Him. But I'm going to be like Him. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm trying to put words into emotions. This is what I saw this week. I've known about sanctification for 43 years. I am, I'm being, I will be. Okay, on with it. Let's move forward. Let's get deeper. I'm going to see my Lord and Savior. And somehow this wretched man that I am is going to be like Him. And we're going to really see Him as He really is. So therefore, in our past and present and perfect future, verse 3 says, and every man that has this hope in him, are we hoping to see Jesus Christ, or is something else taking the place of that hope right now? Be honest. Tell yourself that. I don't ask for hands raised and examples. But is there something that's standing in the way of you seeing him, of me seeing him as he is? Because in this sanctification process that I'm in right now, very soon I feel, I don't know when I'm going to pass. None of us knew the day we were going to be born. None of us know the day we're going to pass. And I think that before that even happens, our Lord could come back for us, call his body to himself. Am I purging myself? Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Sanctification. Simple, isn't it? And I guess I said a lot of that. I wanted that to just spike our interest in sanctification, the process, my part in it. What can I do to hasten that process? Each one of us can do something. I know that. Don't give up. Don't give in. God's not done with any one of us yet. And I think that's evident through his word. He wants us trusting him in every area of our life, no matter what it might be. Not going along with my own idea. Well, this isn't right, so I'm gonna steal. This isn't the way I want it, so I'll cheat. This isn't the way I want it, so I'm going to think this way. Oh, the way our minds work during the course of the day to oppose God's word. And what he's trying to do is set us apart. We need that word of God. We need him now. And I know it's gotten late. I've been rushing, but I want us to turn to John 17. We need Jesus. Corporately as a body. Every one of us for what we're enduring. And every one of us for what we're about to endure, whether it be brought on by myself, this world, the devil. But no, please no, please no, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't go the way of the world. Don't take the easy road, the broad way. Don't do it. Please don't do it. And I'm speaking for myself also. Do I really believe this? He that sanctifies and those that are sanctified are one. I'm not Doug Gibney anymore, whoever I might have been. I am the Lord's child now, and I'm one with him. And as we go through Hebrews, we're going to learn that there's more than just being set aside. It becomes a trust in him for everything in the darkest times that we can still see light. Not only trust him, but do we know his names, as I want to get into next week? How can I call on him if I haven't heard him? How can I understand what he's doing in my life unless I line it up with the word of God and ask him those questions? Because he has sanctified us already, those of us that are in this house that have believed in him and on him and trust him. He's already done it. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, troubles, trials, sufferings, heartaches, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And the Lord prayed in 17, and I want to hit this one because this is the real Lord's Prayer, and it's for me, and it's for you, and it's for everyone that calls on his name about this process of sanctification. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also might glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is eternal life. Eternal life, remember that too, in our sanctification. You not lose, salvation is the same. We've been saved by that cross and by that work on the cross. And we're being saved every day from the attacks and onslaughts of the enemy of our soul. The roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he can devour. Somebody who's weak. Somebody who can't defend themselves. How do I defend myself? With the word of God, just like Christ did in the wilderness. You repeat back. I do it all. Why did he die? Why? I get mad enough sometimes. I just want to throw things. Why did my husband leave? Why did my wife leave? Why has my life been just plagued with this or that? Be because this is eternal life. These things happen. These things go into our life, but they don't have to overpower us. Why is my finances? Why is my health? Why am I so angry? It's because God is trying to take us and get us ready for heaven. He's not trying to give us an easy path, rose petals, nothing wrong. Well, you're perfect, aren't you? Because you're a Christian. When I look in the mirror, I realize that's not true. But I will be perfected one day. And one day real soon. This is eternal life, verse 3. That they might know thee. How can you know somebody unless you spend time with them? How can we know somebody unless we know what's in that name? Hey, I want you to trust Pete Pickering tomorrow. Okay? Now you know Pete. But you don't. Can you trust him? How can you trust somebody you don't know? That they might know thee. Pete Pickering was a guy that I worked with in Harlem. He was my partner for 4 years. I never had to turn around and look and see where Pete was, in an abandoned building, in a crowd that was coming down the street with whatever they had. I never had to look for Pete because I knew he was there. I knew him. I trusted him. Didn't have to worry. That's how our Lord is. If we can trust somebody, trust you, Tom. I know you. I trust all you guys. I trust you. How can we trust somebody if we don't take the time to really know them, spend time with them, realize that I don't have to turn around because God's got my back? See, that's sanctification. That they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou hast given me to do. It's done. So is our sanctification. Just going to tune it up a little bit before we go. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gave me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words. Sanctification, not opinion. Sanctification, not my ideas. It's God's word, which thou gavest me, that they have received and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verse 9, I pray for them. God is praying for, what are we going through today? So, I'm trying to duck hunt and get enough lead in the air. The situation that you and I find ourselves in today, if we take verse 9, does anybody care? You've said that before. Does anybody really care what's going on in my life? Does anybody care where I am this week? Anybody called me this week? Anybody call? Does anybody care that I'm fighting cancer? Anybody worry? God cares. God cares. I pray for them. I pray for them. Jesus Christ is praying for Doug Gibney. What? Why? Because I've sanctified you. I'm praying for Pat. Why? Because I knew you before you, when you were in God's pocket. As a good Roman Catholic mom used to teach you, when you were in God's pocket, that's before we were even formed, God was praying for us. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all are mine, are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I pray he is before we go out of here, that each and every one of us, that people will be able to see the glory of God shining through your eyes. When they look at you, they'll realize you're not of this world. Something's different about you. How are you doing this? That we, our lives, might glorify him. Verse 11, and I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. See, we want God to do it, don't we? Do it. Wake up tomorrow and my habits are gone. Wake up tomorrow and my attitude's better. Wake up tomorrow and I don't yell and scream and throw things anymore, complain. No, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them through thine own name. And we're going to look at the names of Jesus next week. Those whom thou hast given me, and that they may be one as we are. There it is again. The same as Hebrews 2. Verse 11, mistake, we're one with Jesus Christ. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy filled in themselves. How's your joy today? That's another thing he's setting us aside from, that our joy, it's not happiness because happenings are going my way. In that sanctification, he wants us set aside in the midst of every turbulent trial or tribulation and having the joy of the Lord. That's part of our sanctification. Is it there? And if it's not, I'd ask you, start asking God, why not? What can I do that they might have their joys filled in themselves? I have given them thy word. There's the word again. The world has hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. 15, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. Get me out of this, Lord. Take me now. I can't work in Central City, a den of iniquity. It's a job. It's a job. But we want to work. We don't want to go in the mission field because that's a little too hard. But I don't want to work with a bunch of them sinners. And I don't want to work in that area. Take me out of this. That's not it. Jesus saying, you know, I don't want to be in this situation. I don't want to be with this cancer. I don't want to be with this heartache. I don't want to be in the midst of this marital situation. I don't want to be in this financial situation. The Lord is saying, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that would keep them from evil. The evil one, Satan, your enemy, my enemy, is trying to knock us off the box every single minute of the day. What are we going to do with it? Sanctify them, he says in 17, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The cares of this world rob. Read that one in there. The cares of this world, when we are so concerned about my problem, my situation, why this, those are the cares of the world, and they're going to choke out the word of God to a point where we just can't hear him anymore. Jesus himself is praying, sanctify, put your name in there. Sanctify, Doug, through your truth. Your word is truth. You've sent me into the world. Even so have I also sent them into the world. How did he send it? How? We were going to have shirts made in the very beginning of this church called the Lamb Pack. Remember? And it was a bunch of wolves with drool and teeth snarling in a circle. And here was this one little sheep with a sword that was glowing right in the middle of them. How did he send us? To have a great time? To have everything go the way I want it? No, no, no. We're having trouble. He came into the world. He was sanctified, though. We're having troubles, but we're sanctified if we're hearing what God is trying to say to us. So he's sending us into the world the same. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified through the truth. 20. Neither pray I for these alone, so we can take this from that part of the hearers of Jesus speaking at that time. Write to us. Write to us today. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. Our great commission. We're not here for an easy life. We were sanctified and set apart by our Lord in the very beginning. He's still doing it for us today. He's going to do it one day. And the only purpose my job, my recreation, those are things I do to pass time in this world. The reason I'm here is that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. What happened to the Great Commission? What happened to us speaking the word of God to every face that he puts in front of us? I'm not here to be happy. Not here to be a big shot. Not here to have things go my way. I'm here so that somebody, just maybe one person, might say, this God, man, this guy believes in this God. I think it's real. And the glory which thou gave me, I have given them, and that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they might be made perfect in one. That day is coming, not right now. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Perfect sanctification. Perfect salvation. It's coming. Don't give up now. How, every one of us, I think, and maybe even this week, I'm just tired. I can't do it anymore. I'm battle weary. I'm wore out. I just want to give up. No, God's saying, don't give up right now, because where I am, you're going to be. And that they might behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee. Do we know them today, that thou hast sent me? And I have declared unto them thy name, and that name, as we're going to look at, it's more than just Jesus, Jesus Christ. There are over 100 and some odd names, the Rose of Sharon, Jehovah, Sidkenu, Jehovah, Jireh. What do these names mean? When I'm in trouble, who do I call on? How about Jesus? How about Jesus? How about calling on one of those names? I'm broke. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's going to provide. But we'd rather run out and work 3 side jobs and try to compile. Let's call on Jesus. Let's call on him. I've declared thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Salvation is his whole purpose, that love. Sanctification, once we understand that love that he's poured out for us. He wants my life, not part of it, not Sunday morning for 1 hour and 41 minutes. He wants my whole life. He wants to set me and you apart, each one having a different purpose, each one having a different gift or a different talent, that the world might know who he is. Don't let the world, don't let others, the spirit of this age, confuse your mind or heart on what God says he is doing in us and around us. God's love and God's grace in every one of our situations, no matter what they are, will pull us through if we allow them. If we think about what's really going on. Don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. God is openly doing a work that you and I can see. We can connect the dots. Everything that he said was going to happen either happened, is happening, or will happen. So I know I babbled a lot, but I think it's time for us to wake. It's time for Doug to realize how serious this salvation, this sanctification, this love and grace of God really is, even in the midst of suffering. We don't want it, do we? I don't think he wanted it either. Father, if this cup can pass, let it pass. But nevertheless, your will, not mine. So this week, when you feel like you're being pulled in this one direction that's completely opposite of what you really want to do, think about, maybe it's God trying to use me. Maybe it's God trying to set me apart. Let's see what he's got to do. And next week, we're going to look at his names. Like I said, how can you trust somebody that you don't know or just heard of a name? So that'll be next week. So Father, thank you for the minds that were able to endure more than the body can put up with. Help us this week, each one of us in our own way, to look at that sanctification, Father, how much it cost you, how little it costs us, what it is that you're trying to do in and with our lives, Father. So we thank you, Lord. We pray for those people right now that lives are being lost, Father. Food is in a scarcity. Shelter that was home at one time no longer is there. Help us to see some of these things. Put life in perspective, Lord, because our time is coming here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.